Jeff Dawson wasn't a young man when he was finally caught and sentenced to live behind bars. He wasn't young, and he wasn't used to any kind of restrictions. All he wanted from life was freedom. Freedom to come and go as he wished. Freedom to do only the things he enjoyed. Yeah. Perhaps that was why he'd become a notorious highway robber in the first place. A civilized existence made too many demands on his time. Jeff's strong taste for living made prison almost unbearable. From the time he entered his cell, the only thing which kept him alive was the thought of freedom. Every waking moment found Jeff pacing his cell, pacing and planning his last years of freedom. Then, Jeff Dawson was granted a parole. Once again, he was a free man.
And so begins the Tuesday nightcap yarn titled, Gift of Freedom. And now, friends, may we suggest you have pencils ready at the end of the program when our storyteller, Frank Graham, will make an important announcement worthy of being jotted down. But now, here is Frank with the Tuesday Western tale, Gift of Freedom.
In the summer of 1887, when the prison gates clanged behind him, telling Jeff Dawson that he was once again a free man, the ex-highway robber stood there quietly for a few moments, drinking in the clean air, the rich, warm sunshine. Oh, this was the day he'd lived for. Jeff didn't blame anyone for his years in prison. He deserved every day spent in his tiny, cramped cell. Jeff had been a highwayman, a fearless, masked rider. He'd plundered the wealth of stagecoach passengers on nearly every route in Kearney County. For years, his activities had put fear in the hearts of the men who drove those swaying, speeding coaches. And then, as suddenly as his thievery had begun, it stopped. Word went around that Jeff Dawson, lone bandit of Kearney County, was dead. But Jeff hadn't died. He was only wounded. And while the West forgot him and his lawless deeds, he lay on a cot in a prison hospital, fought his way back to life. Even then, delirious dreams of freedom were all that kept him alive. Later, when he recovered and was sentenced to spend years in prison, he still survived on hope. Hope for the day when he would again be able to come and go as he wished. Real freedom. While in prison, he learned that his wife had passed on, leaving behind their only child, a lovely daughter. He asked the state to promise that she would never know about him. Life would be cruel enough without the added knowledge that her father was an outlaw. And on that day of days when the parole board recommended Jeff Dawson's release, the old man was so nervous his trembling legs could barely carry him through the prison gates to the world outside. He stood there for a while, reveling in the knowledge that he was free. Then he walked on, out into the world, to find that the years he'd been away hadn't changed things much. He had changed, though. The reckless, challenging spirit that had ridden with him through his wild career of banditry was gone. Gone forever. Jeff smiled as he thought of his promise to the parole board. Why, he couldn't go back to the old life if he tried. The words of the warden rang in Jeff's ears, whirled about in his tired mind.
Remember, Dawson, you're only out on parole. One bad move, you'll be right back here. For life. Do you understand? For life.
Jeff had understood, all right. Understood that the freedom he treasured so highly would be gone forever if he made the slightest false move. He understood, too, that he must go to work, get an honest job. What a change from the old life. It cut Jeff's pride like a stinging lash, but the lure of freedom was stronger than pride. Riding back to Kearney County was like a strange nightmare to Jeff Dawson. He was the only passenger in the stagecoach, and he prevailed upon the sour-faced driver to let him ride up on top. The leathery-faced coachman wasn't exactly pleasant company, but he was better than none at all. The stagecoach wound along many familiar roads, roads that Jeff had once ruled as a highwayman. He couldn't help wondering if the driver beside him had ever heard of Jeff Dawson. The fellow handled his team as though he'd been driving a stage for years. He must have been around in Jeff's heyday. Jeff couldn't withhold his curiosity any longer.
Say, partner, did you ever hear of a fellow named Jeff Dawson?
Sour-faced driver skillfully switched his tobacco to the opposite side of his mouth.
Jeff Dawson? Jeff Dawson, let me see. Oh, sure, I remember him. Quite some years ago, he was scaring all us drivers to death around these parts. I never did run up against the sneaking rascal, but I know lots of drivers what did. They allowed he was the orneriest cuss they'd ever did see. Why, I've heard stories about that bandit make your blood run cold.
Jeff, listen, Dickie. Now, this was real news. He never did know just how bad folks thought he was. The stagecoach rattled on, and so did his driver.
Yes, sir. I remember him. Old Jeff Dawson was the sneakinest, lowest form of a critter I ever did hear tell of. Say, I was mighty happy when I heard the news that he got shot to death.
Jeff winced under the words. He evidently had been none too popular. He looked at the driver again.
Well, are you sure he was killed?
Sure. Sure, I'm sure. At least that's what everyone says. He died in a prison hospital.
Well, I don't suppose he was the sort of fella that ever knew how to do anything decent, eh?
Nope, not that fella. From what I understand, he never did a kind deed in his life. Just took what he wanted, didn't care who suffered.
Jeff sat very quietly after this. He'd heard enough. The driver could stop talking about Jeff Dawson any time he wished. The stagecoach clattered along for nearly a mile before either of the pair spoke again. Jeff was staring off across the plain somewhere when suddenly the driver nudged him.
Hey, look up there on the road. Hey, there's a fella lying up there. He's hurt, I reckon.
Jeff stared ahead at the figure lying at the side of a hot, dusty road.
Well, I wouldn't stop if I were you, mister. I reckon I'd just roll right on by.
What? And leave that fella lying there? Don't be foolish. Whoa! Whoa there, baby! Whoa!
Jeff Dawson was strangely silent as the heavy stage dragged to a stop. Somehow he felt there was something wrong. Suddenly he was sure this was a trick. He was trying to stop the driver from climbing down when the man on the ground gave a sudden quick roll. He came up on one knee with guns drawn and leveled full upon Jeff and the stagecoach driver.
All right, boys. You can just toss your guns down here and then climb down yourselves. You can throw that down, too.
He showed what he meant by nicking the mail sack with a quick gunshot. The driver climbed down quickly, holding his hands well over his head. Jeff wasn't so quick in his movements, though very agile for his age. One would never guess by his present actions. He moved like a creaky-jointed old man, bracing himself against the handrail. For a few seconds, the bandit took his eyes from the struggling old gentleman and glared at the driver. Those brief seconds were all Jeff needed. He knew all about this stick-up business, went right into action. One heavily booted toe caught the robber full in the face. A wiry arm encircled the man's neck, and Jeff's free hand had a firm grip on the gun barrel. Half-dazed, the robber fell to his knees. The driver rushed in to help Jeff, and together they overpowered the bandit. Off came his mask, and both men stared as they saw a lad of about 22 years. The driver quickly retrieved one of the lad's guns.
All right there. You're going to jail for this, young fella. Holding up the mails and stagecoaches is a serious offense. I reckon we'll just deliver you to the sheriff.
The young man was defiant, almost challenging.
Oh, let me go, will you? You haven't any right to hold me for doing what I did. I needed money to take care of my wife and kid. This is the first time I ever did anything like this.
For a moment, the sour-faced driver's eyes softened. Jeff saw that he felt sorry for the kid. Then the driver jerked a thumb toward the mail sack.
Well, all right, and how would I explain that mailbag being shot up that way? Probably went right through letters, too. Now, sir, you got yourself into trouble, kid. They won't pay no heed to your story back in town. They'll lock you up, maybe for good. Folks is just a little tired of having the mails robbed. Now, go on, you get in the coach there. We're taking you to the sheriff.
Soon, the stagecoach was underway again. Jeff was inside, guarding the youthful bandit from escape. He leaned over and spoke softly to the boy.
Sonny, was that true what you said about this being the first time you've done anything dishonest?
Sure, but you guys won't believe it. You don't know how it is to suffer. You don't know how the things are that drive a man to steal him.
Well, I reckon maybe I know something about that. Sonny, did you ever hear of Jeff Dawson?
Bandit? Yeah, my dad used to talk about him. Ah, but so what? He's been dead for years.
Well, maybe so. I knew Jeff. I knew him real well. I guess maybe I was there when Jeff died.
What do you mean? You guess you were there?
Nothing. I mean, I knew him. I knew that down in his heart he was always afraid. He hated himself for being afraid, but he couldn't help it. Because when you don't play fair, well, there's something more powerful than us, honey. Something that makes things balance. You know, you better go straight. Forget all about this kind of a life.
Yeah, but what am I going to do? I know you're right, but I'll go to jail now. I
haven't got a chance. Sonny, if you did have a chance, would you give me your word that you'll never do anything like this again?
Well, of course I would. I never wanted this life anyway. I tell you, I was all mixed up. I didn't know which way to turn.
Well, you never turn the way you almost did, lad. It's bad business. Even the smart boys get it sooner or later.
I know, but it's too late, mister. When the driver tells him a story, I'll just go to jail.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's too bad to shut up that mail sack. We didn't have that to explain. Well, never mind. You let me do the talking when we reach town. You just remember your promise about going straight. That's the most important.
He smiled reassuringly at the younger man.
And, say, maybe it'd take your mind off all this if you was to tell me about your wife and baby, huh?
Half hour later, Jeff looked out the window when he felt the coach slowing down. They were almost into town now, the town where Jeff wanted to spend his last years of freedom. Suddenly, he noticed they were stopped, and the driver, having climbed down, was banging heavily on the door of the sheriff's office. It swung open. The driver pointed toward the stagecoach.
Sheriff, I reckon I got a prisoner for you out here. I thought I'd just come up the stage.
The driver's words were cut short as the stagecoach door banged open and Jeff Dawson stepped down. He walked right up to the sheriff.
Sheriff, I'm your man. I'm Jeff Dawson. Maybe you remember me, maybe you don't. Anyway, I've got quite a string of holdups to my credit. I reckon I just couldn't resist one more. Well, I didn't get away with this one. I'm ready to pay for it.
Stage driver looked at Jeff in amazement. Then he turned slowly toward the sheriff.
Wait a minute, Sheriff. Let me talk to this man for a minute. He won't run away. There's something I got to say to him.
As the sheriff stepped aside, the driver seized Jeff's hand.
Dawson, I must have been talking to the wrong people when I heard about the kind of man you were. There wasn't one of them knew the real Jeff Dawson, like I do. Why, I think it was mighty square of you to give that young fella another chance.
Well, then, maybe you'll keep an eye on him for me. Help him get a job or something. You see, he told me all about himself. And I think the girl he married deserves a decent break. Her daddy was a highwayman. I wouldn't want her husband to be one, too.
And so ends this week's Western Nightcap yarn titled Gift of Freedom. And now, hoping you have your pencils handy, here is our one-man theater, Frank Graham.
Thank you, Tom Hanlon. It is with the greatest of pleasure I make this announcement this evening, Nightcap friends. And I will admit it's rather complicated, but I think when you discover that it's an answer to your repeated requests, you'll probably want to jot it down. You ready? Beginning next week, Nightcap Yarns will be heard on most of these stations at a new time, 9:30 Pacific Standard Time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, 9:30, and 15 minutes later on Saturdays at 9:45. Good night.
Be with us again tomorrow night at our usual time. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.